Philippians chapter 3. I'll read verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And then let's move on to verse 12. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And one more scripture in Revelations chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 10. Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning. We ask you to sprinkle the blood of Jesus Christ over our hearts and our minds, to cleanse our conscience, Lord, so we be able to receive what you have to say to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that every mind will be attuned to you, Lord, and to hear what you are saying to them, even as your word is being spoken, Lord, that you minister to each one here. I pray a blessing over my brothers and sisters this morning, that you open their hearts, Lord, to receive what you want to impart to them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, as I was reading this verse from Philippians chapter 3, what struck me here is that what Paul the Apostle says, he says concerning persecuting the church, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law is blameless. This morning the title of my message, and also in verse 12 and 13, he talks about forgetting all of the past. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, and the title of my message is, forget all of the past. And what we'll find out today, why we need to do it, and why it's important to do it. Because the Apostle Paul, if you look at his life, a lot of the times you look at the things that he underwent and the hardships. But at the same time, when he says, I was persecuting the church, how can he say that? I was persecuting the church, and then so many verses down the road, he says, forgetting all of the past. How can you do that? Why is it important to do that? That's what we'll find out this morning. Because we know in our lives that we all have failures that have affected our lives in many ways. We learn about forgiving others, and we work at it. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit helps us to forgive others. But sometimes we also have a sense of, yes, we forgive them, but we want to some justice. We want payback. Really, in the recesses of our mind, even though we have forgiven them, we just say, yeah, I forgive you. And maybe that's true. But somewhere we have this, oh, I hope something happens so that you can get even with this. So in the sense of how we do that to others, what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us, what the Apostle Paul probably went through, because he says he was persecuting the church. Now, if Paul lived in his day, he'd probably have all these lawsuits against all these Christians that were persecuted, or some of their family members got killed. And yet he had the audacity to say, I'm forgetting all that happened. Paul, how do you do it? Why do you do it? So what the Holy Spirit wants to show us today is not just forgiving others, but how to forget the past and forgive ourselves. There's a very common human trait where people stand up and say, well, I know that God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. And we find that, oh, that isn't that cute. But that grieves God. Because what the Apostle Paul is teaching us through what he experienced in his life, even though that area is not talked about, is that I forgot all the past. I'm not thinking about all the people that I maybe killed or committed all these things against them. And we all have things in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants us to leave it behind. Just forget the past. And I mean, there's a whole... I was looking at a list of some of the things that people sometimes think of. One of the dealings with failures, because we consider it a failure. Giving up too soon and always wondering what might have been. We have this sometimes. We wrestle with some things in our thoughts. Or letting people down. Or falling into sexual sin. Or having an abortion. Or unfaithfulness in marriage. Or being sentenced to prison for a crime. Or abusing your children. Or lying to your best friend. Or ruining another person's career. Or injuring your health through carelessness. Or wasted years with the wrong company. Or giving advice that was utterly wrong. Or we had to live with a strategic choice that was wrong in our lives. We took the wrong job. Or we were abused, but we blame ourselves. We don't listen to concerned friends, and when we were overtaken by sin, we forfeited a ministry. Or we lost a lot of money through lack of wisdom. Or we did not answer the call of God in our life and waited too long to get right with God. So there's a list that can be endless. And that is something that we wrestle constantly with ourselves. How do I put this past aside? How did Paul do it? Why did he do it? Why is it important to do it? And that, what we'll cover this morning is, what we'll look into this morning is, what will help us to grow. Because that can stunt your growth. If you're stuck in a place where you say, oh, I failed, I should have done this, I should have done that, I didn't do this right. And you know, the first thing is that it makes us live beneath the grace of God. So the first item you need to realize, you need to forgive yourself. Forget the past and forgive yourself, because God wants you to do it. That's the first item. It is very important to God, because that's why Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And by not accepting this, by saying, well, I can't forgive myself, you're basically telling God, the atonement wasn't enough for me. Yes, I know you forgive me, God, but this item, I really can't get over it. And God is very grieved with that. Because the blood of Jesus has washed everything, all of your past. And yet you don't have a right to hang on to something that God has forgiven you. So God wants you to forget the past, forget your failures, and move on, so that He can use you. As long as you're stuck in that mode, you are basically conflicted. You don't make God happy. And the next item is, the devil wants you to be there, to stay in that condition. Because he knows that if you don't forgive yourself, he has a weapon against you. Every time you try to get over something, the devil will come saying, "Oh, remember, remember." So if you don't put the past behind you, and I was thinking in the back of my mind about the Apostle Paul, of all the things that he has done to the church, and yet he could say, "I forget all of the past. I'm moving on." And he's been used by God so that he can minister. He could have stayed there and sulked and said, "Oh, well, I killed so many people." And we all have things in our lives that we've done against other people. And God wants us to forgive ourselves. That's the hardest thing to do. I mean, you talk about forgiving others is like Mount Everest. But forgiving yourself is like the peak of Mount Everest. Because the devil is there, always needling you. And saying, "Remember this? Remember you didn't do this? Remember you didn't do this?" And before you know it, you're useless in the service of God. So the Apostle Paul is teaching us today how we can get over this. If we don't let it go, it will keep us from moving forward with God. And of course, it doesn't please God. The blood of Jesus has completely wiped your past. There is no past. The enemy will always come to remind you of your past, but you need to remind him of his future. So that's where the enemy plays. He plays in that area, and he knows the things that are bothering us. The benefits, for example, if you do that, if you allow yourself to forget the past and move on, you'll have inner peace. And you don't have a bondage of being guilty. You don't walk around thinking, "Oh yeah, that's the person that I hurt, or this is what I did." And basically you dwell in that, and the enemy just works on it. And then there's also the degree to which you forgive yourself, you will be able to accept your calling. So you can become very inefficient in the body of Christ because you're still wrestling with things about your past. You don't have time to help others because, "Well, I got so many other things that I need to deal with about myself. Some things that I need to clean up about my past." And God has already cleaned it up. The blood of Jesus has already completely wiped everything clean. But we don't seem to have to grasp this. And that's where the enemy comes in and just brings it all up. So it's important for us to recognize that God has done everything, has cleansed the past. We have repented, and the blood of Jesus has washed it, and God is saying, "Stop hanging on to the past. Forget all the past, because it's already taken care of." Now, it's important when I'm talking about this that the difference between what they call false guilt and true guilt. We need to make a distinction between what is conviction of sin, true guilt, and what is false guilt. What I mean by false guilt is that false guilt is something that God didn't put there. It doesn't come from God. And you can also have what they call a scrupulous conscience, like Uriah the Hittite. We read about the Uriah that King David brought him over. And of course, King David had a plan about making him saying, "Well, come back home and sleep with your wife," and so that he could claim that's not my child or whatever adultery he had. But Uriah had a scrupulous conscience. He basically says, oh, I can't do this. What will my buddies think? Everybody is out there fighting, and I'm here, and God is, and my king wants me to go and stay at home with my wife. That's not right. So he had a scrupulous conscience, which is false guilt. And false guilt is when you think about what do other people think about? What will other people say? And that's where the enemy keeps you there. And you think, oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that noble of Uriah? But it's really, it's called false guilt. So we all have situations like that where we feel, what will other people think if I do this? So when you get to that place, you will understand that it's not from God. God doesn't put it there. You created this false guilt, and the devil wants you to live in it. He will keep reminding you, what if I did this? What will other people think? But this is where we need to recognize the false guilt from true guilt. So Uriah, he thought he was doing himself a favor. And yet, he allowed this guilt. And it's easier to see false guilt than to see true guilt. I'll give you the other part of the example. King David, when he decided, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he decided to kill Uriah, he never had any conviction of sin. True guilt comes from God. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't recognize it. You want to make a distinction between what is true guilt and false guilt? God, in false guilt, God doesn't give it to you. It is not a sin unless you let it get a hold of you and becomes a sin. But it's not, never really was put there by God. The true guilt is when all of a sudden David, a year and a half or 2 years later, is convicted. So a lot of times we don't think that God thinks anything about what we do, and yet we sin, but we don't recognize it, we don't admit it. That's true guilt. So I'm giving you a biblical example of two different people and how false guilt can really run you down and will not allow you to move forward. But true guilt is conviction of sin. You need to recognize the fact that what doesn't come from God and what comes from God, because the enemy lives in your past. He knows everything about your past. And he can bring up a lot of things about your life at any moment. And once you bite, you're basically stuck. And you go to God and say, well, you know, I didn't really mean to do this, God. And it's only the Holy Spirit can convict you of sin. You do not see it. True guilt, you cannot see it. False guilt is you feel sorry for yourself. This is what I call, I have it here, the twin sins. Self-righteousness and self-pity. So once you're into the false guilt, you'll find the self-righteousness and self-pity come along. You feel sorry for having hurt this person and so on and so on. And you dwell there, and the enemy comes and says, yeah, stick around. You're basically sidelined. So, and that's one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to forget the past and forgive ourselves. Self-righteousness and self-pity. So we need to accept ourselves. In In Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11, it says, the accuser of the brethren is a liar. He lives there. He wants to work on your, brings your past. He wants you not to forgive yourself. He wants to remind you of all the things that you could have done and you didn't do. Because it makes him happy. And you cannot be used by God. It doesn't please God. And you're basically rejecting what Jesus did on the cross. That's the overhanging problem as believers, which doesn't please God. God says, the blood of my son has done everything. So why are you telling me you don't feel forgiven? Why are you hanging on to this? What gives you the right to hang on to this? You're basically telling God, what Jesus did for me was not good enough. And that's how the Apostle Paul could move on in his ministry. Sometimes we always concentrate on what he did and what happened to him. But I was thinking when I read this verse about forgetting the past, I said, well, Paul, how can you do that? How did you do it, Paul? How did you move on? Of course, in today's world, he would be chased down by the media, and everybody would try to find everything that he did before he became a Christian, and so on and so on. So, a lot of times we tell God, well, I don't like myself. I don't like the way I am. That doesn't make God happy. Because God knows exactly why he created us, why he gave us everything that we are and that we have. And the blood of his son Jesus has done it all. But the enemy doesn't want us to get a hold of that. He's trying to find something. You know, we're all human beings. We all have issues. We all have failures in the past of our lives. And we don't need somebody to come and encourage us. I'll give you a formula. Creation plus environment plus the Holy Spirit equals the way God made you. Creation, that's your parents, the color of your eyes, your stature, the way you look. Environment, childhood problems, trauma, the awful school teacher, playground bully. And then the Holy Spirit. That's what the way God made you. The moment you become a Christian, God not only ensures your future, that you're going to heaven, but he also takes on your past, which is amazing. Why would God want to take my past, take all my failures? Because that's what Jesus did on the cross. And in Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for good. Now, once you're in the family of God, God determined that everything will work together for good. So we forget the past and forgive ourselves, and yet that doesn't justify what happened. We have to agree on that. It doesn't justify it. David sinned. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But yet, when you go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6, and you read that Bathsheba is in the lineage of Jesus, God fixed it.
it's important to see that even though we have scrupulous conscience and a wicked David, for that moment, we'll end up in the genealogy. So, it's important for us to grasp.
We lost the mic.
It's important for us to grasp what Jesus has done for us and to really, truly apply it, not just talk about it, but to truly believe it in our hearts. Anytime you have moments where you say, well, I don't like myself, or I don't like the way God made me, just repent. Because God, it doesn't please God. It makes him very sad to see that all that Jesus did on the cross has wiped all your past. It's important for us to forget what's in the past. It's important to let it go and not allow the enemy to try to bring it back or replay the tape. We know, we have it in our minds. I mean, a lot of the things that all the failures that we have it in a tape somewhere. But don't play it. Don't go there. Because once you go there, you're inviting a guest that is not supposed to be there. And he shows up in Revelation. Or he's accusing you. And reminds you, do you remember you're supposed to do this? Remember this person failed because you did this? Remember this person doesn't talk to you because of the... And so on. And you just don't allow yourself to grow as a believer. God wants his people to be warriors who recognize what Jesus did for them, who forgive others, and also learn to forgive themselves. Because if you walk around and you have all these wounds, you're of no service to God. I had a song that I wanted to play for you as I close. Joanne, you can go ahead and play it. I'll do a closing prayer and then you can play it. Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding us once again, Lord, of who we are in Christ. For reminding us, Lord, how much you've done for us and how much your blood has washed away all the past, Lord. It is difficult for us to grasp your amazing grace and your love for us and how you can take the past and all the things that we've done, Lord, and mold it and make it work together for good down the road. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing this truth to us, because it's important to you, Lord, to remind us how much the blood of Jesus Christ is so precious to you, Lord. You know that you, basically, your blood cleanses us from our sins and also satisfies your justice. We believe that, and we want, Lord, to be conscious of how much you love us, Father. How much you really, really love us and want us to lay hold of that truth and turn to you, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, that you'll minister to them, Lord, and that you remind them, Lord, to forget all about the past and to let you, Lord, be Lord of their lives, and that the blood of Jesus will wash away our conscience, Lord, and not know that we're ignoring that when we sin, Lord, you will tell us. We don't want to false guilt, Lord. We want to let you, Holy Spirit, to deal with the things that we need to be dealt with, and not to for us to invent situations where we feel guilty about, which is really not coming from you. I pray, Lord, a blessing over my brothers and sisters today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead.